chapter 7. If you would go there with me, and we're going to try to preach if God will help us. I've got a message here I feel like God's just put in my heart. Never preached, I preached from these verses, but never preached in this way, along these lines. And there are so many different messages I was contemplating for Mother's Day, praying about. And there's because I don't believe it's hard to give the due honor in just a few moments. But I just want to let every mother in this room know today that God cares. Every woman and every mother in this room today that God cares what you're going through. Just want to encourage you with these words today in Luke chapter 7, 11 through 16. And if you're there, just give me a good amen. It's going to be a little different for a Mother's Day message, but bear with me. Verse 11 through 16 of Luke 7 says this, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he had come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched her by I guess how you like to say that. I heard it mentioned different ways. But I heard it mentioned one time, and brought briar and beer, how you want to say it there. But it says this, that he came and touched her by her, and that they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God had visited his people. And today, with the Lord's help, I want to preach to you on a head-on collision with Christ. A head-on collision with Christ. That sounds different from Mother's Day, but just bear with me. And let's all just pray and ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, I do appreciate you, Lord Father, allowing us to be here today. And God, I just want that liberty, Lord, and that anointing, Father, that makes preaching easy to be here. I realize, Father, that my ability is very limited. I understand I may not be the smartest and the most educated, Lord. But I do know when you give me a message for the church. And I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that I can, Lord, transfer this zeal for this message that I feel, that the congregation may feel it. God, that people would understand and know, Lord, the beauty and the power, Lord, of running into Jesus in this life. What He may do for us, God. How He changes, Lord, the situations, God, that we are bound in. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I would you just have your way and anoint us to preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of us know what the term head-on collision means, and I trust today that nobody's been in one physically in a car accident. I hope you haven't. And if you have, I'm sure you got a good testimony. Unless you were going very slow, a head-on collision can be something that is very devastating, can be something that is very deadly. People every day, especially here in the state of Virginia, I've seen more car wrecks since I moved here than I've ever seen. I mean, people are getting the wrecks all the time, but I want to tell you this term that we use, a head-on collision, like I said, it's a very popular term that often carries with it the idea of a car wreck. But this day that I read about in the book of Luke chapter 7, there was another collision, or head-on collision, if you do not mind me saying it that way. But this collision did not bring death. This head-on collision brought life. It was different than the most average head-on collisions that you read about. They were not in vehicles, but they were on the same road, and both of them were hitting two complete opposite directions. One person was death, and the other person was life. One was darkness, and the other was light. The other was evil, and the head-on collision involved that which was evil and that which was holy. And this head-on collision was from that which was death and life. There was a head-on collision that day, and I'm telling you, my friend, this is a beautiful story as we begin to read it. As I begin to study the head-on collision and different things around that subject, the law of physics states this, and it's a very common question, but what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? What happens? And I know as you study that, it actually gets explained away because somebody says that there is no unstoppable force and there is no immovable object, so it cancels each other out because they do not exist. But I do want to tell you today, today. In the spiritual realm, there is an immovable object and there is an unstoppable force. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one, even though He's not a physical object right now, but He is one that will not be moved nor swayed. He is the very one that has everything under His feet. Not only is He immovable, friend, but when Jesus Christ and God's will is established, it is unstoppable. When God desires to do something, you may say, Brother Derek, what about the wind? I can tell you this, God created the wind, so it's not too great for our Lord God. What about the mountains? Are they not immovable? I tell you, our God can rend the mountains. What about the waters? Did not our God split the Red Seas? What about fire? Our God is an all-consuming fire. And what about death? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about this story today. What happens when the unstoppable, immovable Lord Jesus Christ enters in a situation that is against what His will is? Now, my friend, as we study throughout the Bible, I would like to just remind you and refresh your minds that every time in the Bible that Jesus visited a funeral, He always would one that would break up the funeral. He would not allow it to be the way that it was. We can read throughout the Bible where Jesus raised on three different occasions. He raised that young girl, 12 years old, and we might say He raised, we know that young man here in the book of Luke 7, and also we know of John 11, what He did there at the grave of Lazarus. And my friend, every time Jesus visited a funeral, He was one that could change what seemed to be certain. He could change what seemed to be written in stone. What could not be changed by physicians? What could not be changed by doctors or lawyers or even those who wished they could control it, such as family? What could not be controlled by any other? Our Lord Jesus Christ was able to control those things that we read about. We come into Luke chapter 7, and we are instantly introduced here in these verses of the Lord's coming to this little city called Nain. Nain was about 25 miles from Capernaum, a good day's journey from where Jesus was in the previous part of the chapter. Yet Jesus went there. My friend, notice this. He went there and He was not requested to go there. You do not find in the Bible where somebody asked Him to come there. You do not find where somebody said, I wish I was calling for Jesus to come there. But I like to think in my own mind, maybe somebody prayed for Him to be there. I don't know. But God knows the divine timetable. And my friend, as you would study here, you would know throughout the Bible and believe by most scholars that said the Jews would bury their dead on the same day. You can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 21, Acts chapter 5, and many other references. My friend, usually when somebody died and was Jewish, they usually sought to bury that body that same exact day. So most likely, my friend, when Jesus and His disciples arrived at the city gate of Nain, most likely it was late in the afternoon sometime. Most likely it was still during day, but it was late in the afternoon of that day when that little boy did die. And I want to talk to you today about four different collisions that I find here in the book of Luke chapter 7. And these are things I feel like God just wants me to relay to you on this Mother's Day. Four different collisions that are to happen here that day on that street there on the road to Nain. Number one today, the first collision we're going to talk about is the two crowds that collided. The two crowds that collided. You would understand here by the providence of God, we can only marvel at His providence at times, that as soon as this funeral procession, as I read a little bit about Nain, most likely the place they were going to bury this young boy at, most likely it was not too far from where Nain was. So my friend, just when you look at God's divine timetable, as soon as Jesus made a day's journey, as soon as He shows up at the gate of the city, it's right where they're about to walk out of the gate of the city, or just to come over the threshold of it. So my friend, it's a divine timetable. My friend, if Jesus would have showed up 5 hours earlier, they would have never met. If Jesus would have showed up 5 hours later, they would have never met. But I still like to sing and preach and teach that our God is an on-time God. You say, well, Lazarus is in the grave. It's been 3 days or 4 days. My friend, God is always on time. Whatever your situation is, you say, well, I felt like God should have answered sooner. But God has a reason in what He is doing. There's a testimony He is trying to establish. So my friend, on this divine timetable, He shows up just in time. They walked all day. They come to this gate of the city of Nain there. And all of a sudden, right there, they can see up ahead, there's a funeral procession. There's a funeral procession up there. And I want to show you now the contrast between these two crowds. What a contrast there is between them. Jesus and His disciples were ones that were walking in the newness of life. Jesus Christ there has done miracles. He added a
agenda he was doing. His disciples were rejoicing in the blessing of the Lord. But then coming on the opposite side of that road, coming towards them, was somebody not rejoicing? But my friend, there it was. You see this funeral procession, and you see this widow and her friends were lamentating over the death of her only son. Jesus was heading to the city while the mourners were heading to the cemetery. They were going two different directions. And you would have to understand as well at this time, the way that they would mourn over the death of somebody that was Jewish. They had professional mourners that would play flutes and different instruments there. They would wail and mourn out loud all the time. And I even read one place where they would stop every few feet and they would just all cry. Now, I'm glad it's a little different than that nowadays. We don't just walk around, and even though we may shed tears, but I'm glad, you know, it's different nowadays. We don't have professional mourners that we hide. And something else I'm going to point to you here in a few moments. Not only would people professionally mourn, but when somebody was walking to a cemetery, they also, if you were walking along the street that day and you had no pressing obligations or no important obligations, a lot of the time the people that were there walking, they would even join the funeral procession to repay homage and respect to the one that died and to be there for that mother. So here it is. You got two different crowds. One is led by Jesus, and this other one is led by this weeping mother. Now, spiritually speaking today, I want to tell you, even in this room right now, we have two separate crowds in this room. You're either walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're either walking in His blessings, you're either happy to be in church this morning, or you're walking with another crowd that is always sorrowful, always brokenhearted, and one's led by the Master of life, and the other one's led by the prince of death. I'm glad to know today that there's two different crowds here, and I'm going to ask you, which crowd are you following? Are you happy to be here? It's all right if you smile at me every now and then. They make me feel at least a little better. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I'm here today because I'm following Jesus. I'm going the way that He's going. And my friend, if you'll walk in the other direction, I would tell you this today. You may be dead in trespasses, but you're about to have a head-on collision with the one that died at Calvary and can resurrect you from your dead life, from your dead sins. I'm glad to know one day, and when I was 20 years old, I had a head-on collision with Jesus. It was the best collision of my life. Amen. Did it hurt? A little bit. Amen. It didn't hurt me physically so much, but I'll tell you one thing. It hurt me bad because I had to get rid of things, but it was the best hurt in my life. He did something in my life that was real. It was perfect. Now, my friend, today when these two processions met today, the two groups met at the gate, one procession, we have to give way to the other. You ever went to walk through a door and somebody's coming away and you go another way and I look at it and I say, I know we ain't both fitting through there. And I've tried a few times. I'll tell you every now and then you'll be like, you have to do just like this and you know you have to sidestep. Even then it's gotten a little tight. My friend, here it is. It's the gate of the city. You have a funeral procession. You have Jesus and His disciples, and somebody's going to have to move here. Something is going to have to give way. And as you read the customs of the Jews that day, it was decreed that a funeral procession was given the right of way, and rightfully so. We still do that in America, don't we? You ever see out there where a cop is out there? And I'll tell you one thing. You ever been stuck beside a real long funeral procession? I thought myself before, I said, he must have been a very famous man or woman, whoever it was. That took me, I remember one time, like 15 minutes, the car was just car and car and car. And I said, it's something else. A funeral procession, you always give the right away to them. You always do that, but not so with Jesus. Jesus ain't given the right away to death. And He's not giving a right away to the devil. He's not going to step to the side. So notice this today. Not only were there two different crowds that collided, but the second collision I'm going to talk to you about, there were two only sons that collided. Not only two crowds, but two only sons that collided. One was alive, but destined to die, and the other was dead, but destined to live. Hey, I was thinking about that day and got excited. I said, man, I'm going to write that one down. In my thoughts, I said, I won't think of it again later. I know that's just the way I am. I got sticky notes everywhere. I said, two sons collided that day. One was alive but destined to die, and the other was dead but destined to live. They were the only sons of their mother at that time. Now, spiritually, no man had other children, but this young man that died here, a pauper, he was the only son of that mother. The youthful corpse had been washed, anointed, and wrapped in a shroud. There is that casket there, laid where there's a dead young boy in her life there, a dead young man. And this, my friend, is something we look at and we look at this. He died and there was nothing that mother could do about it. There was nothing she could do to prevent it. Here it is. You have two different sons here. You've got the son of this widow, but you got the Son of God. Now the son of this widow, he's in this casket. And from the context, we know that he's unmarried, most likely. We don't hear no wife or no children, and no doubt desire. My friend, this young man probably died at a young age, and no doubt he had great aspirations in life. No doubt that maybe he wanted to get married one day. Maybe no doubt he wanted to have children. And this young man, here he is, he's laying there in a casket, and he's dead as a doornail. You ever heard that? Amen. There's a term we got in common there. You heard that one. Dead as a doornail. There's no life in him. The physicians have looked at him. They've listened for his pulse. They've tried to feel his pulse. They listened for his heart rate. There is nothing there. He did not have the opportunities and the blessings of life. He is the son of the widow there. But here it is. We've got the Son of God. The only Son of God. The sandal-footed man who was also anointed, but not for the burial. The other young boy was anointed because he'd been anointed because he's dead. Jesus is anointed because he's alive. Here it is, my friend. He's anointed. Jesus is anointed, but not for the burial. He's anointed of the Holy Ghost. He was also wrapped, but not in grave clothes. He was wrapped in the favor of the Father. And my friend, when Jesus came there, there's nothing that mother could do to prevent it. But when there was something that Jesus could do about a problem, my friend, also we look at this, and my mind went straight to the story in the book of Genesis. My friend, with Abraham and Isaac, we know that Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain to kill him. And we know the story. The angel stopped him and showed him a what in the thicket? A ram in the thicket. My friend, here it is. You have another son here. The son is dead. But here comes that ram in the thicket, Lord Jesus Christ, who shows up on the scene. And he's letting this mother know there's something I can do about the problems that you're in. Man, I wish somebody had that meeting today. My friend, sometimes we'll have our problems and never show them to the Lord. We'll have our problems and we'll collide with everything else in this world. But I'm telling you, my friend, the best meeting and the best collision you can have is when you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. The third collision we read about here is this. It's the two sufferers here collided. We read about this widow mother. Now get this today. This widow here most likely, by ritual, most likely had rent her upper garment as custom had required. Her only son is dead. Look at her as the tears are running down her face. She is ain't unable to do anything about his death. And my friend, can you just imagine what she's going through? Now today's Mother's Day, and I want to stop right here. I know mothers face a lot. I know that. And I know as a man and as a father now, look, I feel tremendously. And I look at my little daughter and I pray. But I also am not ignorant to the fact there's a special connection between a mother and a child. I know that. And you would all have to say amen. I mean, there's something about, you know, my mother, I know she feels something for me, and I know she loves me because, I watched my wife just a few months ago before she had the baby. I watched as she carried a little Chloe there in her stomach there for 9 months, and I'm telling you, there's a special connection to there. There's something, you see her there reading the book, you're sitting there, see her feeling every move in her stomach there because she knows that. But can you imagine what this mother here is facing? Her only son, most likely this widow is most likely older than age. Her husband has now passed away. And I believe right here she's walking with her son. Her son is in that casket. I believe she has memories just flooding through her mind. I believe maybe she can remember the day that she got news. And she remembered the day that she found out she was pregnant. Oh, what joy was there. Oh, what enthusiasm. Oh, how happy she was. She couldn't wait to go home and tell her husband. She couldn't wait to go home and tell mom and dad. She could not wait because it was such a blessing. And oh, what it must have been like the first time she felt that kick in her stomach, and she remembered how wonderful it was. How it was wonderful it was to carry that little son. Every kick, I'm sure, is going through her mind. The kicks in her stomach, the joy that she had for 9 months as she sat there, she had this little boy there, and then came the day to deliver, and she brought that little life into this world, and then gave her that little baby in her arms. What joy she had with that little baby boy! And then the very first time that baby coos. You ever seen a baby coo? I'm getting reacquainted. That baby will coo and make noises. Maybe she remembers the first time. She says, honey, come here. Look. She look at him making that face. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine this mother there? And she's seen the little baby roll over for the first time. Isn't it amazing what a little baby will make grown adults do? Making faces. I remember I was out here one night, little Chloe was in a car seat, and there was a bunch of adults around her going, I said, man, I wish I could record that. Amen. It'll make a grown, strong man make a face at a baby. And it's fine and well. That's wonderful. Thank God for these blessings. But these memories are no doubt running through the mind of this mother. And she remembers all of this. Maybe she remembers this first step. Maybe she remembers every little detail in his life. But all of a sudden, my friend, here it is. She's got a new memory that's taken over her mind. Here it is. Not only does she have memories of the good, but she remembers what it was when she got the diagnosis. She remembers what it was when she heard about the death of her son, however it happened. She remembers the horror and the terror. And here it is. Her dreams, her joy, and her memories are shattered into a million pieces as her only son is laying there in a casket, and there is no hope.
No. Anybody ever felt no hope? Now, as a Christian, we should always have hope. But there has been a few times in my life when you hear bad news and you want to say, God, I don't know what to do. I've got no hope in this situation. I have no ability to change it. And Lord, I know You can move in it, but God, I feel my hope is diminishing here. I want You to notice this. Not on top of that now. Let me follow me. Not only does she have these memories, but the dilemma of a widow mother is this. Her past now is gone. Here it is now. She had a husband that she fell in love with at a young age. She had a little child with. Here it is. Her husband is dead. Now her past is afflicted. But not only that, after her husband passed, she still had her son, so she still had some hope there. But now her son is dead, so her present now is inflicted. But not only that, now that she don't have her husband, she don't have her son, now without her wife, there is no future seen, so now her future is also infected. Every which way she's looking, past, present, future. Hurt, hurt, hurt. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Past, present, future. She's inflicted on every side. She has no reason to have any joy. Until she got in a collision. Look at this with me for a minute, my friend. Because the two sufferers here collided. You had this widow. You had this widow mother that collided. But my friend, who she collided with was Jesus, the man of sorrows. And Jesus could easily identify with the widow's heartache. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. My friend, just hear this widow woman is. She may say something like this. Now I'm all alone. And Jesus could say, oh, I've been alone too. Look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, sleeping disciples. Look at Jesus hanging from Calvary, nobody there to console Him. Look at Jesus through different parts of His ministry, even when He's surrounded by disciples they could not comprehend. But notice this today, my friend. These two sufferers here meet up. One is a widow mother, the other one is the man of sorrows. We read in John 11 how Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. God knows what we're going through. But not only can she relate with Jesus, but now she can partially and futuristically, in a way, relate with God, because God had to watch His only Son die. Aren't you glad to know that we have a God that can relate with us? Oh my, I'm glad I don't serve some God somewhere that's so high up that just, you know, He's way up there, and I could say, Lord, if only I knew You knew what I was going through, and I know You're way up there and I'm way down here. I like to tell you, my friend, He wasn't only way up there, but He came down here. He went through what you're going through right now. You say, Brother Derek, He don't understand. He understands more than you do. That's the beauty of it. These two sufferers collided. But let me show you the compassion of our Savior. When the Lord saw the widow, His heart went out to her, and He said these words, "Weep not." Quit weeping. Now, let's be honest. Let's just use your brain. Let's live in reality. And if anybody else would have said this at a funeral, you would say the audacity. How would you come up to anybody to tell a widow on the way to the graveyard to bury her only son and all of a sudden come up to her and say, "Weep not"? It would seem like you have a pitiful heart towards her. Because if I said that to her, there's not much I can do. I can just say, look, I know God knows and God cares. But when Jesus says, weep not to this woman, He says it and He has all rights to say it. Because He has the ability to change what the situation is. He knows what it is. He's had the ability. He looks at her and He tells her, do not weep. And He says that. And He has the power behind it to do something about it, my friend. So my friend, not only did two crowds meet, not only did two sons collide, not only did two sufferers collide, but here in the scene, two enemies collided. We look at the scene. One of these processions is led by the angel of death. The other procession is led by the Prince of Life. I want you to get this contrast because right over here you got the angel of death. And over here you got the Son of God, the very Prince of Life. There's about to be a head-on collision here. And I'm telling you, at that time, and you'd have to admit, that death seemed like an immovable force, but not for our Lord Jesus Christ. What a collision it was! Death is the enemy, and Jesus is the destroyer of death. My friend, the day that they met on this road, death had a grip on this young man. But I'm telling you that Jesus had enough power that He could raise him up. And my friend, it was time to make the move. He came down, and He simply did this. He touched the casket. Hey, stop right there, please. Imagine this was a casket. He just touches it. Hey, death, stop. Hey, mother, weep not. Hey, quit playing them flutes. He didn't say that, but just bear with me. Stop. And notice this, after He touched that casket there, it says this, that they stood still. Then He spoke to the dead man, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately the dead man sat up and began to speak. Then Jesus handed him over to the young man, over to his mother again. That's what Jesus can do when you collide with them. Stop. Get up. I want you to hear that. We complicate so many things in our walk with God. I will trust God and I'll believe God if God will do this. All God's going to do is speak. All God has to do is speak. Now I want you to notice this here because, and bear with me with this phrase, Jesus is the only one that can get away with talking to the dead. Bear with me. Every time we read in the Bible, when Jesus talked to the dead, they got up. Hear me. Every time we read in the Bible and you study, on three occasions when the Lord raised the dead, He talked to the dead as though they could hear Him. He didn't talk to them as we would talk to somebody, our lost loved one, like I'm going to miss you and all that. He talked to them and said, get up. Now, if you've never seen me in a preacher and you won't, unless God really leads me, and it would have to be Lord, then I would walk up to a casket and say, hey, get out of there. But Jesus can get away with it, you know why? Because He can do something about it. He talked to the dead. Hey, young man, get up out of there. Every time Jesus raised one from the dead, when He walked into Jairus' house, He looked at that daughter, young daughter who was laying there dead. He said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He's talking to the dead, isn't He? He says another time at Lazarus' tomb, He said, this Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened every time He talked to the dead? Now, this is just the way my mind is. How did that happen? Where is their soul and spirit? It is in the other world. It's not here on this earth. So I just imagine this. Jesus had enough power and anointing. When He said, young man, arise, His spirit instantly reunited with His body. And He set up and got to get to talking there. He began to speak. That's what Jesus will do when you collide with Him. Another deeper and interesting study. Not far from the city of Nain was another little area called Endor. There's where you read in the Old Testament where that witch was that Saul went to when he no longer could talk to Samuel. He asked that witch, can you talk to the dead? And the best she could do was conjure up an evil spirit. But we know on this day, Jesus didn't conjure up an evil spirit. He spoke to the dead and they got up. You know what happened today? You got saved. He spoke to the dead. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses, but how beautiful it was that day. I heard these words, Derek, come out of your sins. Derek, come out of your tomb. That is the beauty of this, my friend. Possibly today, my friend. This is what we have to understand. After this young boy got up, he took the young boy, and there he presented him back to his mother. Now, how beautiful is this? As we won't be much longer. I know it's Mother's Day. Here, my friend, as this young boy sits up out of that casket, can you imagine what it was like as they took off the grave clothes? And there, that mother that was weeping and crying because she had no future and she had no present. She had a hurt past from her husband. But now she had the joy of that past of that son being born. Here it is, this mother, as this young man is presented back to him. And my friend, he showed two evidences of life. And these two evidences of life are this. He sat up and he spoke. He sat up and he spoke. I'm going to ask you today, is there any issue in your life you feel like is overwhelming you? Anything? Say today you feel like you are with this mother and you're on this road and you walk in the procession, and even though you know you've been blessed and God's been so good to you, here it is, I want you to understand something. When you're walking on this road, Jesus can meet up with you. And Jesus desires to move in your life. And that which you saw was impossible, I'm telling you, when you have a collision with the Lord Jesus Christ, it can give you utmost honest and strength that you can just stand on His Word and know that the Lord Jesus Christ will meet your need. I'm going to tell you a story, and then we'll have our altar call here in a few moments. Brother Timmy Edwards is from our old church, and I cannot remember, to be honest with you, if I told you this before or not. Brother Timmy Edwards at our old church, he's a minister, I'll get him here sometime, but Brother Timmy Edwards, when he in his teenage years, he was a heavy drug addict, man. He said he would go 4 or 5 days and wouldn't go home, would just live out and about, wouldn't shower, nothing, just strung out on drugs. But Brother Timmy Edwards had a mother that was a minister, and she was a praying woman, a godly woman. And he said he would just remember his whole entire life. She raised him right. Sister Edwards there was such a good, godly woman, lived a good, holiness life. And he said he remembers times, 3 o'clock in the morning, he would try to come home. He said one night he climbed up on the roof. And he said he unlocked the window on purpose. He was going to go in through the upstairs window. And he says when he climbed upstairs, he said as soon as he seen the window, he seen the silhouette of his mother, who's still up looking for him. She let him in the house with tears running down her face. Brother Timmy says she would say all the time, "Now, Timmy, you know you're living a life that's contrary to God's Word. And you know you're a sinner. And I'm telling you, you need to give your life to Christ. Me and your father can't keep putting up with this." He said one time he was so messed up on drugs and alcohol, he walked in about 3 in the morning. He said he could hear Sister Edwards praying in the other room, screaming out his name. And he said, just the way God's timing works, she didn't know he was in the house. But as soon as he walked past the room, he said she didn't hear him or nothing. All of a sudden, he would hear, just as the Spirit would move on her, he would hear this, "God save Timmy!" He said, but one day, when he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he knew it was his mother's prayers that kept him alive. He ended up being a preacher, and I'll introduce you sometimes. But what happened to Brother Timmy? He had a head-on collision with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet over this congregation. I do appreciate everybody here, every mother. And I just felt in my heart today as we related this and during this altar call, I just felt in my heart to just try to relay this to you the best way I can. I want every woman and mother, please listen to me just right now, every woman and mother. I want to let you know that day that Jesus met this woman on this road, Jesus cared what she was going through. Jesus cared what she was feeling and what she was going through. I want to let every woman and mother here today understand. I want you to just get this very simple. Jesus sees you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows the love you have for your children. And even when those that are not able to be mothers, God knows the love you have for somebody else in your family. And even though many tears we shed in this life over situations and lost loved ones, all these different things, I know sometimes we feel like we're walking, but I want to tell you there's hope. There is hope. Never feel like there is no hope in your situations. Never feel that way. Because God has put a love in a mother's heart that only she can have. You ever heard that? That's one that only a mother can love. There's a love in a mother's heart for their children that cannot be substituted or duplicated. It's real and it's genuine. I know fathers have just a genuine love, but there's something about a mother's love. And I just want to tell the women of the church today, as I was praying, just know this, God sees and God cares. And all we have to do is keep on walking. Know that God can resurrect any situation and give you strength to deal with it. I told you at the beginning of the service, I was going to get all the mothers to come up here and all the women, every woman, every mother, please hit the pews. Do it as quick as possible. I know some of you cannot do it, but every woman and every mother, could you please just come and stand around the front of the church here? And we just have a little something we'd like to do today. And on their Mother's Day, I appreciate them all. God bless you. Amen.